Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I am your host, Laura Reeves, and I'm super excited, you guys. As always, it's the first Monday of the month, which means we are being joined by my dear friend, Dr. Marty Greer. And we've got a really interesting topic. This came from a listener who sent me a message and said, I want Marty's opinion. I said, okay, I can make that happen. And
I have the power.
I have the power. We can make that happen. I know a guy. So anyway, this fellow wanted to know, I know a guy that's kind of on our topic, about breeding your stud dogs and how frequently you can use a stud dog, how many times in a row, how many days, blah, 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 before you start seeing a decrease in your semen quantity, quality, etc. And I said, this sounds like a Marty Greer topic. All right, everybody, Trupanion wishes you and your kennel a very merry holiday and a happy new year. As breeders, we know the holidays are full of joy, but amidst the tinsel and treats, unexpected accidents or illnesses can happen in a heartbeat. In fact, 1 in 5 pets will have an unexpected veterinary visit in their first 30 days after going home. Don't let a holiday emergency dim the season for your puppy families. Join Trupanion's free breeder support program today and send your litters home with immediate medical insurance coverage, ensuring their new loved one is protected the moment they leave your care. Trupanion's Go Home Day offer is the ultimate gift of peace of mind for you and your new puppy families. Sign up now for Trupanion's breeder support program by going to puredogtalk.com and clicking the link on my partners page to guarantee this season is merry, bright, and protected for every one of your precious pups. All right, guys, whether you're a first-time breeder or a seasoned veteran, it's not just a litter, it's your legacy. Each puppy represents your hard work, your dedication, and it shows your commitment to the next generation. Revival is honored to support you every step of the way. You can find everything you need to support your litters and the health of your dams and sires with Breeders Edge, Revival's premium line of reproductive and neonatal health products. Breeders Edge was actually developed with the help of our very own Dr. Marty Greer, Revival's Director of Veterinary Services, and a leading expert in canine reproduction and neonatal care. Breeders also rely on Revival, the pet vaccine experts, for vaccine selection and safe shipping to give their litters the protection they need. Revival's online pharmacy serves breeders with a wide variety of prescription medications, plus a knowledgeable staff that's always ready to answer any questions. Grow your own healthy legacy with help from Revival Animal Health. And check this out, one time only, $15 off your order of $99 or more by using the code PODCAST15. You can use this code by calling 800-786-4751 or stopping by www.revivalanimal.com. Hi, Marty. How you doing?
Hi. I love this topic. This is a great one. So there's multiple answers to that. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with some basic stud dog anatomy, like super basic. There's a this and a this and a that.
Okay. So the testicles are where the sperm is made.
Yes.
And there is approximately a 4 billion sperm reserve in the healthy average stud dog.
Okay.
But that's going to depend on the age of the stud dog, the health of the stud dog, his family's reproductive health, the nutrition that you're feeding, his environment, Let's see what else and how often you have used them in the past and a whole array of things.
And breed, the size of the dog, right? Isn't
it? Yeah. Breed plays a huge role. We expect to approximately see 10 million sperm per pound of body weight. So a 50-pound dog should have 500 million sperm or half a billion.
Got it.
A 100-pound dog would have roughly a billion sperm. Unless you're a bulldog and then they break all the rules because they're really 100-pound dogs with 50-pound bodies because their legs are short. So essentially, a 10-pound dog would have 100 million sperm, a 50-pound dog would have 500 million or half a billion, and a 100-pound dog would have a billion. And so when we tell people, we'll look at their semen analysis and give them a sperm count, and they'll be like, oh, that's my boy. Like, he's an overachiever. So if he's got 2 billion sperm and he weighs 50 pounds, that's like four times the amount we would expect.
Got it.
So that's kind of a basic place to start. And I don't exactly know where that number came from. The last time I was at a Therio meeting, that is what everybody talks about. But the question is, where did that come from? And I guess it's just general observation. But if you get an older stud dog, then their semen quality starts to decline. And it's not just the total number of sperm we look at. We look at six parameters for the semen. We look at sperm count, sperm volume, sperm motility, sperm morphology, longevity, and other cells that are in the semen analysis. So there are really a number of things that we look at. So you get into these older dogs that may have an inflamed prostate and their semen quality is going to go down. They may still have a good count, but they may not have normal sperm morphology. You may have dogs that were in weather that was too hot or too cold, or you know, they were blow dried too often, or their nutrition isn't right. There's a whole array of reasons that dogs have issues. We can see autoimmune disorders causing this. So there's so many things that you can't just say, here's a hard, fast answer for it. You've really got to look at all the parameters.
Okay. So let's say I've got this good average, say it's like a 5-year-old, 50-pound dog. I've got my bitch needs bread and my buddy's bitch needs bread. And I've got two other, because he's famous, right? So everybody wants to breed to him. And of course, they all need to be bred right now.
Right.
What does that look like in terms of how do you prepare for that? What do you do ahead of that? Oh my God, he's going to be a super happy boy. And how do you support him through some kind of a dog breeding marathon?
So between the ages of 2 and 5 are where we see peak fertility. So from that aspect, he's right at his peak. Once they start to get older, we start to see more prostate issues. So then we start to see more problems. Under age 2, they're still not fully mature. What do you do to prepare him? One is nutrition, and that's going to be your basic dog food. So you want to make sure that the nutrients are correct. I recommend that you feed either a Royal Canin or a Purina diet. Royal Canin makes a pregnancy diet called HT42D. It stands for heat to the 42nd day. It was named by the company in France. And that actually has an anti-inflammatory fatty acid ratio that does seem to improve stud dog semen quality. So you can start with that, or you can do the Purina Sport 3020, which is my other favorite food for stud dogs. I had a client today in that said that she was feeding one of the diets that had a lot of flaxseed in it. And you have to avoid flaxseed. They have phytoestrogens. There's a lot of concerns with those. And if you're feeding a homemade or a raw diet, we do tend to see more issues with fertility with those. And I know people feel like that's, in some cases, they feel it's a better balanced diet for their dog, but it may not actually be. So that's really an important thing to look at. And dogs take 60 to 90 days to grow a new sperm. It takes 62 days from the time a sperm is started in production in the testes until it gets into the epididymis, and then there's another transit time. So we typically say 60 to 90 days from the start of a sperm until the time that it's ejaculated into its most fully mature form, because sperm go through maturation processes as they go through the epididymis. And if you ejaculate the dog too frequently, we tend to see more proximal droplets, which are the little droplets behind the neck. And that can indicate either that he was ejaculated too much, too often, too frequently, you're overextending his ability to do this, or he's starting to have a semen quality decline, that there's some degenerative changes in his testicles. So if your veterinarian looks under the microscope, or you do, and you see those little proximal droplets, the little ones behind their neck, you need to start really paying close attention to what's going on in his prostate, what's going on with his fertility, how frequently are you using him, what are you feeding him, is he ejaculating himself, because some dogs are more than happy to do those things. They figure out this is fun. And, you know, everybody wants to do this clean out ejaculation. You don't really need to do that most of the time. The dogs have their own ability to circulate their own sperm, so you don't really have to do that. We see sperm in the urine of dogs every single time we have an intact male dog. We get a report back that says there's sperm there. So we know that it's circulating. So I don't think that most of these dogs need to clean out ejaculation, especially if they're an older dog. The older they are, the slower they regenerate their semen. So if you have an upcoming breeding and you call me and say, I'm going to come in tomorrow and I need you to collect semen and ship it. And then you say, oh, and I cleaned them out last night. I'm going to be like, great. You probably just threw away the only stuff that we had down the drain. So please keep your hands off your boys because you don't really need to help them out with that. So those are some important things. So I always ask if there's a fertility issue. What do you feed? What else do you feed? Because very few people feed just straight up dog food. Everybody decides that they're going to take a very expensive formula that was developed by a commercial pet food company like Purina and Royal Canin that they've spent a gajillion dollars researching. And then you throw stuff in it to unbalance the diet. So that's really not recommended. And then what supplements are you feeding? Because there's a lot of supplements on the market. And again, most of the supplements have no science behind them. They don't have any really good documentation for whether this improves semen quality. And I'm not going to mention specific names. I'm just going to say there are very few that have any kind of science behind them. Carla Barstow, when she was a resident at Auburn, did a really nice paper on fatty acids and the semen quality. So that paper's out there. But in general, there's not much science. It's just stuff that people have decided that might work. And so we'll put it into this supplement and then we'll sell it because we can.
Oh, good. Do you have any supplements that you actually do recommend?
Yeah. ICSB, CF Plus, there's Canine Fertility Plus. I like for males and females. I like the Revival products. There's OxyStud, OxyMate, and then there's In Between for him along with OxyStud. There's Get Him Going and there's the Problem Male. So we have Problem Male, Get Him Going, OxyStud, and In Between. So In Between is really meant to use as just a general health benefit for dogs between breeding cycles. And there is a cycle to breeding. It's not just that bitches sort of randomly, like if they're in the same house, they all decide that they're going to cycle together. But the day length does have a pretty strong influence on when dogs come into heat. And right now we are just about to the shortest day of the year. This is December 17th. We're almost to the shortest day of the year. And as soon as we get to January 1st, I will tell you we have a list in our practice of all the dogs that were timing in heat. There's a little list on my computer. We used to have clipboards. And I would walk into the room where the breeding stuff was kept. And I would walk in on January 2nd and look at the clipboards. And they'd be like everywhere because we didn't have enough clipboards.
Proliferated overnight.
Yes. We had 36 clipboards in the rack. And we'd have two racks going. And it was just like everywhere. So January 1st, every bitch in the county starts coming into heat because the day length is getting longer. And they start cycling. So if you think there's no seasonality to it, you'd be wrong. Now, not every bitch follows the rules, but a lot of them do.
Okay. So we're going to get him prepped. We're not going to do the collection that we've all been told on Old Wives Tales was so important.
And well, if you want to do it, don't do it the day before. Do it a week before. Do it 10 days before.
Yeah.
Don't do it the night before.
Okay. Super good. Super good recommendation. So now we're coming up to, I've got this bitch due and I need to get her bred and I need to breed her every other day for a couple days. And then my buddy's bitch and the three bitches that are being sent in. How do we manage that? When do we say no? When do you start to see an appreciable decline by, you know, fourth bitch in line, that sort of a thing?
Right. And again, it depends on the dog and his age and his nutrition. So those are really important. And I'm going to say the smartest thing to do if you have a lineup of bitches is to insist that they have progesterone timing so that you can breed them once, maybe twice, because you know exactly what day she ovulated. And especially for the older stud dog who's no longer able to regenerate the semen quality as quickly as he was able to before, those dogs, I've seen too many people just, you know, the bitch will stand. So they do a natural breeding every day or every other day. And they finally get to the day she ovulates and we ejaculate the dogs and there's three sperm and two of them are swimming backwards. So it's a little bit, it's just too much. Yeah. So insist that the people that are coming to you have a brucellosis test. And remember, they can't be done in the veterinary clinic anymore with the USDA approved test. So get it done in advance, make them do a brucellosis test and a progesterone test. And then with the progesterone, you'll know exactly when to breed. And remember, ovulation is typically around 5. It's between 4 and 10, depending on the lab you use. They ovulate then, and then 2 days later, they're most fertile. So 2 days after they ovulate is if you're only going to do one breeding or one shipment or one whatever it happens to be, that's your day. It's not 6 days before to 6 days after. You're just absolutely exhausting the dog. Mm-hmm. Now, peak mm-hmm. semen quality appears to be if you ejaculate the dog every 5 days. That, for most young, healthy dogs, will give you the most. So if you're trying to, say you're going to sell a dog overseas and he's your favorite stud dog, but you've got a chance to sell him or ship him to somebody that's going to make his career into something else. And so you're excited about it and you want to have him shared with the rest of the world. But before he leaves, you want to make sure you've got semen frozen on him. Then you want to collect roughly every 5 to 7 days at those intervals so that you can get the most bang for your buck. Because the more semen you get in each collection, the better the semen is that you have left behind in your frozen deposits, your frozen assets. So kind of plan for those things. Say your vet clinic or your repro clinic doesn't freeze every day, then put it on the schedule so that maybe every Tuesday you go and they collect every Tuesday for a few Tuesdays. And then when he does leave the country,
right,
you can comfortably sit back and say, I have semen banked and I'm good with this. And I usually tell people to collect twice as much as they think they're going to need. If they think they want to have enough to breed 4 or 5 bitches, collect enough for 8 or 10 breedings. Because two things happen. Sometimes we need more than one collection. And sometimes what happens is that he starts to produce puppies. Nobody really pays much attention to him until the puppies get out there. And then they start looking around and going, who is that dog? Like,
Where did that come from?
Like, he's 12 years old. What is he doing? Well, he wasn't just recently breeding bitches. He had frozen semen. And then people are like, oh my God, that's like a fabulous puppy. I want to use him. Mm-hmm. Well, nobody liked him when he was walking around and he was at your house.
Lived
and he was
that two. Life. Yeah.
But when he's 12 or right. after he's deceased, people are like, yeah. oh my God, he's the best yeah. thing since sliced bread.
Yeah.
So double the amount you think you need. And I have people that have 50 breeding units, 100 breeding units on a stud dog because they anticipate that he's going to be of a quality that is worth doing. And remember, it costs you around $200, $250 for a breeding unit when you freeze it. But if you sell it for the stud fee, and currently stud fees are, you know what, $3,000 to $5,000. It depends on the breed. I mean, I have some people that tell me that their stud dogs are worth $20,000 a breeding unit. I would question that. But 10 years from now, that semen is going to be worth a fair amount of money. Now, I'm not telling you that all of your retirement funds should be in frozen semen, because I think that would be irresponsible of me to say.
I mean, it's not a great economy. We're all investing in gold. But I'm saying maybe frozen semen isn't as good as gold. Is that what you're saying?
No, but if you can spend $200 to get a breeding unit that's worth $2,000, then that's a pretty big improvement mm-hmm. on what most investments are doing right now. So consider it as part of your portfolio, but not the entire portfolio. Thing.
Got it. Yeah. Okay, good.
A little tiny
that's
bit
fantastic.
Of your
I have a semen portfolio. Never mind Fort Knox, man. It's fantastic. I'm saving that one.
Hang tight, guys. Got a little bit of information for you. We'll be right back to the podcast in a minute.
All right, you guys. The next generation of specialized ProPlan nutrition is here. ProPlan Advant Edge is a new line of powerful triple action formulas backed by years of research to deliver life-changing support for digestive health, or healthy aging. These breakthrough formulations target the nutritional needs of adult dogs and include formulas for small breed and large breed adults. The first ProPlan line to harness 3 powerful biotics in one, ProPlan Advant Edge Digestive Support Plus Salmon and Oatmeal Formula draws on decades of microbiome research. Its prebiotic fiber promotes beneficial bacteria in the gut. Probiotics help maintain microbiome balance and promote resilience during naturally occurring stress. And postbiotics support gut health and ideal stool quality. Now, ProPlan Advantage Senior Support Plus Chicken and Rice Formula offers 3-in-1 support for cognition, immune health, and mobility for dogs age 7 and up. Cognitive health is derived from BrightMind technology shown to promote memory, attention, and trainability. Immune health is from a specialized blend clinically proven to increase immune response, and mobility and joint health come from glucosamine and EPA. Do you want to know more about how to give your dog the Advantage life-changing nutrition for digestive health or healthy aging? Visit Purina.com/ProPlan/products/dog food to learn more. Every 5 to 7 days collection is ideal for regeneration and production, yes, and et cetera. Yes. What if it's less than that? I mean, maybe you have to breed the dog every day or every other day. When do you reach your point of diminishing returns?
Typically, you've got about $4 billion in reserve. So when you start hitting that number, mm-hmm, you're probably going to start to see it. And you will see those proximal droplets. It will be an alert to you. So pay attention to it. Now, I'm going to say that there is a sperm analysis machine now that's on an iPad.
Yeah, you've talked it's about
called,
it.
Yeah, no, it's called cool. The iSperm. So if you go to a vet that doesn't have the ability to do a sperm count and a semen analysis, get together with all your friends in your Allbreed Breed Club, mm-hmm, and say, mm-hmm, okay, our new doctor is struggling to get started. We want him to do repro. We want to support them. Let's put together $4,000 and buy this for a Christmas present. Great. It's not, I mean, $4,000, yeah, the big semen analysis machines, the Casas, the computer-assisted semen analysis machines are $30,000 to $50,000. Mm. So to put together a breed club that can put that kind of money in is unlikely. But $4,000, you know, you get together with a few of your friends and put out the word that if you support your new baby doctor or your new favorite repro doctor and they just can't afford it, put together like a way to help them purchase this equipment.
Yeah.
So I would really encourage that. Or just talk to your vet about whether they should buy one or not, because $4,000 is, yeah, not a lot of money in the overall scheme of veterinary equipment.
And I mean, we do a lot of different techniques when we're breeding our dogs. We can have fresh chilled, we can have frozen, so that then you're going to be reliably looking at your semen collection. But if you're doing a live cover, you may not be looking. Is there, you know, I've bred this dog 4 days in a row. I really need to take him in and have his semen collected and looked at before I dump it in this next bitch.
Yeah, or you should probably get a good semen analysis a month or so before, a week or so, mm-hmm, you know, sometime before somebody packs up the car, drives across, mm-hmm, the country, mm-hmm, ships a bitch, asks, mm-hmm, you to ship semen. You should have a relatively recent semen analysis, and usually that's reliable. Sometimes things will fall apart and you won't have what you expected, even if only a month has gone by. But in general, if you've done your brucellosis test, you've done your semen analysis, you've got some basic, mm-hmm, information, then you're going to feel fairly comfortable saying that he's available for stud service. If you get crummy semen analysis, then that's what you really need to decide. And frankly, we don't need an entire collection to get most bitches pregnant. Most bitches need around 200 million, 250 million normal progressively motile sperm to successfully achieve a pregnancy. So we'll have dogs that come in, we'll collect them and we'll be like, yeah, this isn't good enough to freeze, but because freezing stresses the semen and some sperm that's already not real healthy won't survive the sperm, mm-hmm, freeze. Mm-hmm. But if it's enough that you get 300 million normal progressively motile sperm that lives 24 hours in the extender, and you can do those longevity tests as part of your pre-breeding evaluation, and you ship it to somebody, 300 million sperm, 200 million sperm should get most bitches pregnant. So at least you feel like you've got some level of comfort saying that he's eligible to be a current stud dog for your bitch. Now, if she's fertile Myrtle, I'd be good with that. If she has missed 3 times with other stud dogs, then, yeah, I'd be thinking about that, too, is what is her history? What is her mother's history? Does she have a line of fertile dogs on her side? Does he have a line of fertile dogs on his side? Because if we're breeding subfertile dogs to subfertile dogs, you know what you get?
0 dogs.
Or subfertile dogs. So they're harder and harder to breed every generation.
Right. And so eventually you wind up with 0 dogs.
Or else people are like, I'm going to do a surgical breeding. Well, you know, the average healthy bitch with average semen shouldn't need a surgical breeding. A TCI, a fresh chilled, vaginal insemination, those should be enough for the average fertile dog. And if we have to start going to extremes with one generation and the next is more extreme and the next is more extreme, you're right. We are at the point then we get zero. And nobody wants infertile dogs in their breeding program.
I am not going to be one that advocates against the use of veterinary involvement. Like, we're friends, right? But I think the more that we can do, right, like natural breedings, natural whelpings, I just think it makes healthier stud dogs and brood bitches that makes for healthier populations. And I know people, personally know people who schedule C-sections on everything because it's not worth it to them to lose a puppy. And that's fair. And I understand it. And I get it. But on the other hand, you know, I think there's discussions to be had within our community about how important is it that I should have a healthy reproducing animal.
Right. And sometimes it's us that is the limiting factor. If you just had your hip replaced, you may do a C-section because you can't get down and up off the floor. If you have some other health problems.
I had a C-section literally because I was on vacation and the bitch came early and my vet was babysitting her and she said, okay, I'm just having a C-section. I'm not trying to whelp your 14 puppies. And I'm like, fair.
Yeah.
Completely fair.
Right. There's definitely good reasons to do them. So I'm not going to say we should never schedule a C-section.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm going to say that we should have as a goal the healthiest, most reproductively capable dogs that we can put in our breeding program.
Yeah. No, I think that's basically where I was headed with that. Okay. So while our young little stud muffin is in the midst of his bevy of beauties, are we doing anything to support him during that Mad Hatter week?
Nutrition and rest, pretty much, yeah. You know, be careful with the temperatures. We have temperature extremes both directions, both too hot and too cold. So keep him comfortable. Try and reduce his stress. And feed him really, really well, because a lot of stud dogs don't eat at all well when there are bitches around. Yeah. So if you're housing these bitches in heat, either because they belong to you or because people are sending dogs or coming to you, he may not eat very well. So you may have to do some things to encourage him to eat. So if it takes putting some chicken in his bowl, knock yourself out, man. He's got to eat. Got to sleep.
Okay, so here's my question, and I don't know. I am literally asking this like blind, so you can tell me I'm a crazy person. But it's so much easier on a dog to be collected, just like a side-by-side collection, versus going through all of the mating work. Here, I've just been talking about how we need to do natural breedings. But if you're in a tight spot and you've got a bunch of bitches that need to be bred, can you do a side-by-side and save him grief and aggravation? Can you go to the vet, do a collection and breed two bitches from the same collection? Is that going to work or no?
Yeah. And we frequently will do that as long as we know what the total count is. And again, it depends on the size of the bitch. A small bitch, you know, a little Pomeranian may only need 50 million sperm, but a Bernese Mountain Dog may need 250 million sperm. Sure. So you need to know what your total count is. And that's where that value comes in of having a semen analysis, whether you do it or your vet does it, so that you are putting in an appropriate number of sperm to get the most likely chance of a pregnancy. So it's not just 100 million sperm is what everybody needs. It really is dependent on the size of the dog. So yeah, you absolutely can do that. And if you're going to do that and your vet can do TCIs, if they say, would you like a vaginal insemination or TCI? The answer is TCI. Because that's the transcervical insemination where the semen is delivered directly into the uterus. So again, improves the chances of a fertile breeding, especially if you have a low count, low quality, a bitch with a history of fertility issues. Any of those reasons are perfectly good reasons to do a TCI. And they're great because they're not anesthetic procedures. The bitch stands on the table. We put in the scope. We do the breeding. It takes, you know, 3 to 5 minutes to cannulate the cervix in most cases. There are days that, you know, it doesn't always go the way you want it to. But the typical bitch is on the table under 20 minutes. And in fact, I think the bitches kind of appreciate it too, because they don't have some big schluppy, drooling thing that's sticking his nose in her ear and, you know, lifting her up off the floor. And
so here's my introduction. It wasn't exactly my introduction to dog breeding, but one of my early introductions to dog breeding as a kid, I was spending the summer with a friend of the family who raised bloodhounds.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She was breeding her very, very well-known bloodhound champion dog named Clark to a bitch from Canada named Raisin. I remember this. And it was literally more than 40 years ago. Because it was the grossest experience I have ever encountered in my entire life, before or since. Because bloodhounds are, you know, bloodhounds.
Truly. They're truly.
And Clark really loved to like dig in his water tub and then go do the thing in the outdoors, in the dirt.
Yes. I've got a pretty good visual on this.
Oh, so I'm just saying, I'm scarred for life young. What can I say?
You still turned into a dog breeder. It couldn't have been too terrible.
No, it was horrible. It was horrible. I still love me a side by side. No drooling, no spitting, no nothing.
Yeah.
Anyway.
When my daughter was young, I had a little dachshund that came into the practice and we collected him to do a breeding. And I didn't want him to try and step forward with all of his parts exposed and doink himself. So I said, sit down on the bench. And so I turned around and I was going to hand her the dog to hold with the equipment pointing away from her. And she was horrified. I'm like, you don't have to touch anything. Just hold the dog in your lap. Point him that direction. Because the collection continues after the sperm-rich fraction is collected. Yes. The dog will continue to ejaculate prostatic fluid. And she was like, ah! I didn't expect she would ever have children because of that. But, you know, somehow
all of us that were raised as dog breeders, you understand, y'all, that we are scarred for life.
Special. And yeah, we're a special group.
Very special. Oh, Lord. Yeah. So anyway, okay. That was my question. That was kind of what I had thought about when this listener contacted me. I'm like, well, if you've got a bunch of bitches, if you can do a collection and breed more than one with one collection, that seems like a great solution. Okay.
Yes. So going ahead and collecting the dog in advance, putting the semen into extender, if you have a dog that doesn't chip well in multiple different types of extenders, those are all things that you can do in advance of the time if you've got someone that contacts you, and they should. They shouldn't call you when she's in heat and say, I'm coming tomorrow.
Be there they in a really minute. Should,
yeah, they really should let you know in advance that this whole thing is planned so you can get your brucellosis, they can get their brucellosis, they can get their progesterone. You can do your semen analysis. You can do your longevity assessment. So you can put the semen into extender, pop it in the fridge, 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours later, you take it out, warm it up, make sure that it works. There's a lot of really great things that you can do with the right kind of planning. So it just requires that you actually plan.
Okay, Marty, here's a good one for you. This is one I don't know that I've covered. I mean, I've had 98 million of these episodes about stud dogs, but I don't think I've ever gotten anybody to give me a whole rundown. You got Minitube, you got Camelot, you got ICSB, you got Can you talk about your favorites, or is it simply a question of what is best with each dog? 4-day extenders, 10-day extenders. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in just that little tiny bucket.
Right. And some are egg-based, some are milk-based. In general, I try to avoid the equine-based products because they're made for horses. They're made for horses, and horses are not dogs, and dogs are not horses. In part, it's going to depend on the affiliation that your vet clinic has. If they have an affiliation with ICSB or Clone or Camelot or whoever, they may be required to use their extenders in their freeze media. If they don't have that affiliation or franchise, then they may be able to use others. So, for instance, I can't use Camelot because Camelot won't sell to me. I'm ICSB, so I must use ICSB. So those are some of the affiliations. However,
and
there
if
are
I come to you, like if I bring you my own Camelot kit, you can't use it?
Oh, if you bring it to me, that's a different story. Okay, but I'm not going to go buy it and use it. Sure. So it depends on the alliance that you have and what you're allowed to do. That being said, there are some dogs that do better in one extender than another. Now, in general, any dog should do well in any extender. Minitube doesn't have franchises. Camelot does. Symbiotics does. ICSB does. Clone does. So there are definitely companies that are like that. I really don't like the homemade extenders. There are people who try to do their own. There are recipes online. I don't do any of those. And like I said, the equine extenders, I just think horses are horses and dogs are dogs. Now, I've also got people that ask, well, do I do the 7-day extender? Do I do the 10-day extender? what length of time? And again, that depends on the stud dog more than anything, more than the extender. At one point, I was just messing around one day and thought, oh, let's just try this. So I took my young stud dog, collected him, put his semen in extender, put it in the box that we would normally package up to ship. Mm-hmm. It was in winter. So I got into my Suburban and I chucked it over the back seat, like doop, just threw it into the back seat of my Suburban. And then I drove around with it for 10 days just for fun, just to see.
Intentionally, and this was a test run.
Yeah. Yeah, because I wasn't using the semen. It was just like, oh, let's see what happens. Because that's kind of how the UPS and the FedEx drivers, the Postal Service drivers are. I don't think that just because you have arrows on their box that point up, I don't think they're really paying that much attention. I just threw it.
100% not.
And it was pretty cold. It wasn't cold enough to freeze, but it was pretty cold. And I pulled the box out of my car 10 days later and looked at the semen under the microscope. And darn it, the stuff wasn't still swimming. Now, the next question is, just because it swims, does that mean it can fertilize an egg?
Yeah.
Because I do have people. I just talked to a gal this past weekend at the Orlando dog shows, and she was showing me an extender that she was using. And again, just because the semen is swimming around in there doesn't mean that it's still going to be able to penetrate and fertilize an egg. And the answer is she was having good success with an extender I'd never heard of before. So there's a lot of nuances to this. Bottom line is figure out what extender works best for your dog. If you have a dog that isn't having good success with the first extender your vet has, find another extender. You can buy them online. Mm-hmm. Figure it out. Mm-hmm. Antibiotic, no antibiotic. If you have the choice, put in one with an antibiotic in it. But do you have to have antibiotics? Probably not if the dog has good semen quality. So there's a lot of things to this. So this is where you want to do your test chills. And there are some breeds that just don't ship well. At least historically, that's what we've been told.
Individuals, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And breeds. Like I've been told by certain breeders, fresh chilled semen never works on our dogs. Frozen semen never works. I'm like, wow, you are going to be really limited in what your options are.
I'm telling you, I had multiple very successful, very sought-after wire hair pointer specials that just didn't ship, didn't freeze. I mean, they collected just fine. Looked fine when it went off, and it got there.
Yeah. So that's the advantage of the test chill is you don't want to find that out after people have spent all the money on it and banked on that being a fertile breeding. Because now you've missed a whole heat cycle, and you can't get that back.
Nope. Doesn't work.
This time of year, I know most people use the foam boxes. I was just shown some boxes over the weekend that they're using felt. It's really cool. Really nice box.
True.
But this time of year, we're going to have sub-zero weather in parts of the world. And I use a stainless steel thermos that you can buy. I don't care where you get it. Walmart, Starbucks, doesn't matter to me. But if you put the tube of semen, don't just pour the semen into this thermos, but put your tube of semen into it, into a stainless steel thermos that you have pre-chilled in your refrigerator. So it's chilled when you put the tube in and make sure that it's tall enough for the tube to fit into. Those stainless steel thermoses will keep the semen from freezing in shipment. Yeah. And we have had more than one sample freeze in the back of the UPS truck. And you can freeze semen, but not at UPS speeds. You have to have special techniques, and UPS does not have that.
Frozen semen is not what you get when you ship it to Quebec. It doesn't work. I swear, it doesn't work.
Exactly. And we have had that happen on multiple occasions. So when the weather is extremely hot or extremely cold, and this goes for really hot weather too, because it's 110 degrees where you're shipping your semen to. Trust me, the UPS driver does not have an air conditioned back of his truck. And the FedEx plane does not have good climate control. So plan on those extremes being a concern. Go to the store in advance, get a stainless steel thermos, have it refrigerated, trot into your vet clinic, say, would you put the tube in here, and then put the stainless steel thermos into the shipping box. You will be a much happier camper because you're going to have the ability for this to...
Do you pad the container of semen inside the so it doesn't rattle around in there?
Yeah, I put cotton balls in and wet them so that it is padded. Yes.
Okay.
And it's really simple.
I'm seeing a broken test tube of semen in a thermos, and I'm not seeing happy veterinarians.
Yeah, but the tube is plastic in most cases, so it's going to bounce around pretty well. But I actually had a client that had Nova Scotia duck tolling retrievers, and she had her first shipment. This was a number of years ago. It came frozen in the delivery truck. So I talked to her on the phone, and I said, okay, have your friend, the one that's going to ship semen, run to the Walmart and pick up a stainless steel thermos, pop it in her fridge. And then when she takes it to the vet tomorrow, ask to ship in that. And she's like, okay, well, is Starbucks okay? I said, I don't care where you get the stainless steel thermos. Just get me a stainless steel thermos to ship in because I don't want to have another shipment that's ruined. So she does this and she's absolutely hysterical. She's an engineer. So she works with all these guys, right? So she was telling them about this stainless steel thermos and they're like, what? And so she's like, yeah, we just put the semen in it. Well, they didn't visualize that there was a tube with the semen in it. So just to totally floor the guys she worked with on Monday, she took her thermos to work with her soup in it just to completely gross them out. It was so funny. I'm like, oh my God, I cannot believe you did that. Of course, she wasn't drinking out of the actual vessel the semen had been in.
But they don't know that. Yeah.
But these were men. They couldn't really understand that there was a tube inside. It totally escaped them. So you can do some really fun things with thermoses. We used to have some that were engraved with our name on, and we did some fun stuff. It's a great way to tolerate those extremes of temperature.
I've heard before extra packing material and newspaper and stuff like this, but this is very tricky doodle in terms of the way to keep it the temperature you want it to be.
Right.
Awesome. Okay.
And I really like the idea of the felt shipping box. I'm still toying around with that in my head. So typically they're styrofoam and there's always going to be some kind of a frozen and a chilled ice pack. So pay attention when you pack the box, if you're involved with it, that the semen tube does not go directly against the frozen ice pack. There's a chilled pack that goes in between to keep it protected, or styrofoam, some way to keep it protected. And a lot of the tubes are pointed on the end because they're a centrifuge tube. So if you put the tube upright into the box and the UPS or FedEx driver keeps it in that position, the semen all settles at the bottom and the extender sits on the top like salad dressing. So the extender is not in contact with the tube of extender as much as we'd like. So we lay the tube horizontally in the box so that it kind of rocks back and forth and the semen and the extender stay mixed instead of it just being a pellet in the bottom. So we put parafilm around the top of the tube. Tape works, but not as well as parafilm. That's that stretchy film stuff that you used to use in science class. Put that around the tube. I typically do two of those, and then I typically put it in two Burl packs or two Ziploc bags, because if it does leak out of the tube because the cap got askew or the box got damaged or something happened with the air pressure
still
changes.
Contained.
Yeah, it's still in the Ziploc bag or the Burl pack, so that you still have the semen in the extender that you could put into the female, even if it's not in the tube. So I'm a belts and suspenders girl. I do two pieces of parafilm. I do two Burl packs. I do two of all those things because I just want to make sure that I maximize the chances that the semen gets there in good shape. The other thing that we've started to do is there are two things. One is there's a temperature indicator you can put in the box so you can see if it froze or got too hot during shipment. There are now electronic ones that do that. And we are now throwing an air tag into the box.
Yes, so smart.
Because when the FedEx or the UPS guys tell you where your box is, they tell you an estimation of what truck it's on, but you don't actually know where it is. It's just your tube is out for delivery. Great.
My girlfriend,
what time's it going to get there?
One time only, can't find it ever again. Standard Manchester Terrier semen that got left sitting on a dock in, I don't know, Tennessee somewhere. Not in Lincoln, Nebraska, where it was supposed to be.
Right. So the air tag or the tile detectors can allow you to know exactly where it is. And if your vet clinic is getting ready to close, and this just happened to one of our mutual friends, they were trying to get semen shipped fresh chilled from outside the country. And the semen was arriving way later than it was supposed to. Then you can say to your vet, look, it's 10 minutes away. I'm sure it's going to be here. Because the UPS and FedEx things are simply estimations. The air tag, you know exactly where it is. I'm sure the airlines hate that, because when I've lost a suitcase and I've said to them, you know, my suitcase is not in this city. And they'd say, oh, yes, it is. And I'd be like, no, actually, it's not. I can see where it
Here's my air tag.
Look at my phone? Here it is. So air tags can be really a godsend. And that way, if the semen shipment is so far lost that it's not even going to come that day, you can at least go to a plan B dog or figure out some alternative. UPS and FedEx, DHL, you pick your poison, no longer absolutely guarantee those deliveries the way they did before COVID. And since COVID and the volume of boxes that are being shipped expanded so quickly, with nobody goes to the store anymore, everybody uses Amazon and home grocery delivery and all this stuff, that they no longer guarantee those deliveries, and they may refund you the amount that the shipping cost you, the $75 to put it on the truck.
Right.
They will not guarantee the semen collection fee. They will not guarantee the stud fee. All that's on you. Yeah. So if you have an AirTag or a Tile or mm-hmm. whatever device, there's things that are like credit card size. Mm-hmm. If you have one of those and you can track it on your phone, you're going to have a lot more information than you will in any other format.
Love it. All right. Well, we have thoroughly doused the semen topic. No,
we have one more thing.
Okay.
I have one more thing and it's quick. Just remember, if you have frozen semen on a stud dog and you don't foresee that you're going to use it in your lifetime,
yes,
contact the AKC Preservation Bank, the AKC PPB, contact the Purebred Preservation Bank, talk to your breed club, talk to the people that you know, so that if you have someone to will it to, great. If they're going to outlive you, if they're not, consider donating to the Purebred Preservation Bank as backup plan. Because some of the stud dogs that are standing around your homes, in your backyards, in your kennels, are very important genetically to our breeds. And we're starting to see some serious depletion of our gene pools. So 100 years from now, if you want your great-great-grandchildren to own whatever breed you love, don't worry about Sally Smith using your semen next Tuesday. Worry about 100 years from now, will your breed still exist, and did you make genetic contributions to your breed because you had an amazing breeding program? Please contact AKC PPB and donate your semen.
No, that's a great plug. Good job. Thank you. I appreciate it. This is really important. We have a pug dog stored with you that will be donated. All right. Thanks, Marty. I know it's late. I know it's been a long week. Glad you had fun in Orlando. Sorry I missed you. Maybe next year. Next year, we're going to be reunited in Orlando, so everybody can be excited about that.
That sounds great.
Awesome. All right. Thanks, Marty. We'll talk to you soon.
Good night.
All right, you guys. I know I've been talking about this a lot, but I just want to make sure everybody hears about it. I know every pet owner out there has questions about their pet's health. The Marty and Laura Show is here to help. Hosted by Dr. Marty and I, the new podcast delivers fun, fact-based conversations about all things pet health, whether it's a runny puppy nose or a kitty cough. This show is really designed for your puppy buyers, for your friends, for your non-dog folks in your life, you know, your cousins, uncles, brothers, girlfriend. So feel free to share this on. We encourage you to use this as a great resource for the non-dog people in your life. Talk on. As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our Dog Show Superintendents are the hardworking people who make the Dog Show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the Super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.